Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news and every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
Your Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, your daily source of everything Team San Jose. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me, as always, our JD. And finally, Eric has returned from the wilderness of Idaho. He did not Hemingway himself. We're good. He's back.
Whoa. I'm in Ketchum. There's all sorts of Hemingway, like, memorabilia. Yeah, there's like a Hemingway school down the street.
There's a Rick and Morty joke where the dad, Jerry, says something about his appendage, and then she says, if you're Ernest Hemingway, something about shooting yourself in the face with this man.
I love that there are so many subtle jokes in Rick and Morty that, like, unless you're really, really paying attention, you don't notice them, and they just, like, absolutely make it. It's incredible.
Yeah, but I've watched Zero.
Zero Rick and Morty?
I just can't get into it.
Oh, man. Anyway. Oh, man. All right. Well, we're not here to talk about Rick and Morty.
We have
Kyle's,
big thing.
Unless Kyle's video keeps freezing. But
no, I'm back. It only freezes once.
Yeah.
It's the
socialist internet.
You need to like log on 20 minutes before we start and just talk until it freezes. And
then
let us know when it's like buffered appropriately.
The producer, the behind the curtains, how the sausage gets made, the movie magic is that it has done this every episode for 3 months or 4 months. And you guys just don't know. But anyway,
thanks.
Did you guys announce what the show is about?
No, we were getting there.
Oh, sick. I can get there. So. Yeah, Rick and Morty rules. It's coming back this summer. Next couple weeks.
Anyway. So pumped. Yeah, later this month.
What we're going to do today is we're going to look at the prospects. So not Noah Gregor. He's not a prospect anymore. He's like in the NHL. Guys like that, we're not going to care about. And guys on the bottom end of the scale, like a Dylan Hamalyuk or, I don't know, a Chaz Redekop. What are those guys that aren't going to be in the NHL?
Like, Redekop's like 28. So
I don't know. I couldn't think of it.
Anyway, yeah. Scott Reedy.
Yeah.
Alex Young, RIP.
Adam Raska. Yeah. Like, those guys we're not going to take a look at. We're going to talk about the guys that the cream of the crop. And what we're going to do is we're not just going to do your typical season in review and be like, Jonathan Nolan had 70 points and he was good for Timrå. That's boring and uninspired. And the content boys are nothing but inspired every single day. So we're going to give you the statistical base or what they did in this past season. But we also have some player comps of players who've done a similar thing at that age, same league. And we're going to talk about how they fit into the overall Sharks future. So guys that had good seasons can maybe get there faster. Are they going to be wingers, forward, or centers, defensemen? We're going to talk about bigger prospect picture and how they fit into the Sharks going forward, because there's a lot of moving pieces that are fun to talk about. So
before we get started, Sharks news, Milosz, Veal, and Dahlin all signed. There's your Sharks news. So
yeah, who cares?
Damn, we covered it. We'll get into Dahlin more.
Why don't we start with Jonathan Dahlin then? Dahlin.
Yeah.
Jonathan Dahlin scored 71 points. I think Dahlin.
Dahlin. That's like Dahlin. That's the Buffalo one. Rasmus Dahlin, because it's I, and then
no, Dahlin. I asked.
We asked, yeah.
When we talked to Jimmy Hamrin a while ago, and I was like, how do you pronounce it? He's like, it's Dahlin.
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 That doesn't sound Swedish enough for me.
I know, but listen, we can get him back here just to, like, say it over and over.
Yeah.
I could there's like a very subtle difference between Dahlin and Dahlin. There's like an extra sort of like half syllable in,
you like
in
lean Jonathan's into
last
it.
Name. Yeah.
Okay, so please move on before JD does any more dad jokes.
Oh god. I didn't even notice that. Thank you, Kyle, for pointing it out.
The Rick and Morty of dad jokes
without having another dad joke. Yeah, I mean, he was nasty. The hard thing with him is that,
all right, so what were the stats first before we get into, yeah,
no, I thought we weren't reading stats.
Yeah, well, we are,
we still, oh, we need are. The yes, we need the we context
know if they're right. Good or bad.
I'll let you guys read the stats. I've sworn them off.
You have the
stats. Oh, but I have them in front of me, so I have to read them. So Oh man, it's been a while, huh? One too many hazy IPAs before we got things kicked off tonight. He did put up 71 points in 45 Hockey Allsvenskan games for a ripe old point per game scoring rate of 1.58 points per game, which pretty awesome. The issue with projecting him is that very few 23-year-old guys who are like true NHL prospects are playing in Hockey Allsvenskan, like, because most players who are going to be good make the NHL by the time they're 23.
So, or the SHL.
Or the SHL, right. But even then, I think we'd probably find few 23-year-olds just because that's 5 years after your draft year.
Yeah.
The only NHLers who were remotely close to his scoring rate at age 23 were Pierre-Edward Bellemare and Carl Soderberg, but both of them played like three or four more years in Sweden before coming across to the NHL. So on the one hand, you have a guy who is sort of at the end of his rope in terms of your average prospect development curve. On the other hand, you have a guy who is well ahead of other NHLers who were still in Sweden at his age.
Yeah, and I think the important thing here too, with the caveat that he went back to Timrå on personal request, if that makes sense. Like, he wanted to go help his hometown team promote to SHL, and San Jose allowed him to do that. And so long as he was the big fish in the tiny pond, I think they were going to be okay. And he was.
Yeah.
Like, if he was only at like 50 points, I feel like there would be more than
resigned him.
Yeah. There, I feel like there might have been maybe not a resigning, but they resigned him to a 1 year, and I think it's what, 750K?
Yeah, 750K. Yep. One way. Contract too,
yeah, so. And he also, because he's 23, he's not waivers exempt anymore. Yep. So he has to go through waivers if he gets sent down. So I imagine if he gets cut or not, or like he needs some more seasoning or whatever, he's just gonna go back to Sweden. yeah I'll see him sticking around,
play with Timrå in the SHL. So
but he's gonna be in the NHL. He's on the third line from day one. Third line, second line, whatever. He's going to be in that Barabanov, Balcers,
Dahlin, LeBanc. Whoever's got the hot hand is going to probably play up, and whoever needs to work on the details, quote unquote, is probably going to play down, type of thing. So, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with Dahlin. I think his fit is going to be that scoring touch, right? Because that's what he does. That's what he's really good at doing. And that's something the Sharks kind of need, where, you know, you have guys like Timo and Hurdle who can drive play, but you don't really have those certified snipers on the team. And I think Dahlin can hopefully come in, and that will be his role of kind of cleaning up those pucks and being that certified sniper.
I mean, yeah, he had 25 goals in 45 games this year. And last year he had 77 points in 51 games, and he had 36 goals.
Yeah.
He's also in the playoffs this year. He had 22 points in 15 games, including 10 goals. Guy's a machine.
Yes. Certified sniper. That's what we're hoping for.
Certified sniper in the second Swedish division, for sure.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere. There's always guys that come through a weird path and make the NHL. And it's not rare, or it's not common, and it's not ideal, but like, he could be that guy. And he had a hard time in Vancouver with Utica, well-documented mental stuff there. So I'm glad that he's getting a chance, because if they can find a 20 goal scorer for Linus Karlsson trade, I think that's a win, right?
Right. Relative to the average NHL draft pick, he's unlikely to be anything exciting. But we also know that, like Kyle just mentioned, he's had some hiccups along the way that weren't necessarily his fault. And I think we've also seen that Utica might not be the best place for development for any prospect, frankly. And so there's reason for hope, even though he's sort of well behind the timeline for other second or third round picks.
And we know the Sharks tend to be more conservative with their prospects and stuff. So,
unless your name is Mirko Mueller.
Yeah.
just a bad pick to begin with. So I hate that the narrative on him is that the Sharks ruined him, because he was just a shit pick in the first place.
He was 18 and got put in the NHL. So
sure. Yeah, and they shouldn't have done that, but also like, they shouldn't have picked him, because he scored like 0.3 points per game.
Yeah. But Jonathan Dahlin, how he fits into the, like, the bigger picture is that he's on the NHL team, and if he's any good, he will be part of the future going forward.
He will, yes. He fits right into the Merkley window. So
he's either popping off and you've got yourself a bona fide second line left wing, or he's speedy depth scoring, which is fine too.
Yep.
I drive an old car. I've been driving it since 2004, actually. And every now and then I need to find a spare part when one breaks down. The only problem is that chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. So that's why I head over to rockauto.com. Their prices are the same for everyone and are reliably low. In fact, rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines to do. rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. In fact, if you go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck and write "locked on" in there, how did you hear about us, so that you know you sent you, you'll get an amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the car parts you'll ever need at rockauto.com.
So
who's your next favorite?
Yes.
Prospect as you are.
I just sorted them by points per game.
Okay.
And all so right. After that is Daniel Gushin, who,
ooh.
Yeah.
Can we start the Goosh is loose movement now?
Yeah, the Goosh is loose. The Goosh so. Is loose.
Well, how do you think we should portray Goosh in visual form?
like Goose from Top Gun, although he dies.
That's Goose, not Goosh.
It's similar.
It's Sploosh from Archer. Yeah.
Goosh.
But anyway.
I don't know how to do a Goosh. I feel like we run the risk of sounding a little inappropriate.
We're working blue tonight.
Yeah. Us? Yeah. We'll get back to our savvy listeners. Let us know if you have any ideas for how to represent the Goosh visually. In the meantime, he put up 64 points in 46 USHL games.
Once again, a lower tier league.
Yeah, not an exciting league, but still.
But he wasn't on Chicago, so.
Yeah, he wasn't on Chicago, so he was doing it by himself. Yeah.
Again, it was one of those things where he was supposed to play elsewhere, but yeah.
But the OHL did not operate as intended this year or last year.
No, so the big thing with Gushin is that he's 100% going to play with Niagara next year. Yeah. He's not coming back to the USHL. He's going to the OHL.
I wouldn't put it 100, but yeah, there's a very good chance that he fulfills his Niagara promise. But who knows? Right now, it doesn't list anything on his elite prospect. So there's been no official word, I guess. But yes, I think it's fairly safe to say that is a plan next year.
He also was named to the USHL first team with like three other Chicago Steel players. So good for him, buddy.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that amounts to 1.4 or 1.39 points per game. But we're gonna round up here.
Is there comps?
There are comps. They're interesting because not many players play in the USHL the year after their draft year. The vast majority of them go into college or else college for the most part. The one guy who had a similar trajectory was Trevor Lewis. So Trevor Lewis played his D+1 year in the USHL, had a similar scoring rate. Then played in the OHL the next year, and then AHL, and then was kind of between the NHL and AHL for a few years. So he took a while, and he's probably not an ideal case, but he was drafted 17th overall. So it's an interesting kind of like, so the pathway is the comparison there, but I don't know if like the skill level or talent level match up. Other guys are Vinny Hinostroza, who then went and played in college two more years before he played in the AHL. And NHL, Eric Halla played in the NCAA for three seasons and then went to the NHL. Ryan DeZingle played in college for three seasons and then AHL and then NHL. And David Backes also played in college for three seasons before going to the NHL. So we're looking at...
Backes would be by far the best case scenario.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
This is true.
Yeah. But in any case, you're looking at like 3 years, about maybe 3 to 4 years before you see Gushin.
Well, didn't he just sign his ELC?
He signed his ELC. That's true, but it can slide probably.
I think only like 1 year.
Yeah. So, but that's still 4 years before. So hopefully he's on the accelerated end of that, especially because he's not going the college route. So they can bring him up and play 9 games. Or if he dazzles during training camp.
I think with him, he's going to go play in the O, level up competition for 21, 22. And then I think from there, he's probably on track to play in the A or the N.
Yeah, I could see like 1 year O, like 1 year A, and then, you know, then he's probably splitting time between the
AHL. Is he and eligible to play in the AHL?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's fine because he wasn't drafted out of the OHL. So even though he's playing there and he'll only be 19, but next year doesn't matter anyway. Next year he's fine.
Yeah, next year he's fine. And then after that, but I don't think it'll be like a 3-4 year thing. I think they like what they see in him at the USHL level, and he'll get 1 year of the OHL, and then the plan is to bring him over because they wouldn't have signed his ELC. They didn't have to sign his ELC this summer. Yeah. They could have waited. You have like 2-3 years? 3 years? Something like that. 4 years? 5 years?
Depends on the league that you get drafted out of, and maybe your age too, but mostly the league.
Yeah.
So
it's multiple years, and they signed him 1 year drafted. So he's on that path, and he's a guy, again, we're going to get to some guys who are going to be top of the lineup. He's probably middle of the lineup.
Right. If you look at like Trevor Lewis is bottom six guy. Hinostroza and Dzingel have kind of been journeyman middle six guys who fill in here and there.
Hala
is probably a middle six guy. Backus obviously was like a top six dude in his prime.
In his prime, he was an L1.
He was really, he was good. But he was like a very different style player. Like he was like he's a power forward kind of guy. And Gushin is smaller. And
Dzingel and Hala are a lot more similar to what they'd be doing.
Yeah. I think like a Dzingel sort of makes sense. Like someone who is considered a sniper, scored a bunch at lower levels, maybe wasn't really able to drive play much in the NHL level, but like with the right teammates,
could score a bunch of
goals in a season. Yep.
Yeah, which is fine to have on like your third line.
Yep.
Depending on if they want to go skill fourth line. Like and he's also probably a guy, if he's this good at goal scoring, that is a power play kind of dude.
Yeah.
Who can step in and play on second power play units, even though he plays on the third line. It's a good bet to take. Like the Gushin draft pick was a great bet to take in the fourth round.
Third. They traded up for him.
Yeah. So
because a lot of people saw him like a second round talent type guy. So him falling in, the Sharks going to get him. So
yeah. And so I think 22, 23 is the first time that we should seriously start thinking about Gushin in the org. Let him go play in the OHL next year, right?
Right. Yeah. OA and then
split time.
3 years from now, maybe splitting time. Right.
Or just that's up in 23-24.
Yeah. I guess it depends on the state of the Sharks and that sort of thing. I think
like, he's on the same timeline as their first round pick this year and all the other guys. He hasn't fallen off the pace.
No. He had, despite playing in a meh league, he sort of did what Dahlin did and like had a very good season in a meh league. And so it's like, well, that's all you can sort of ask of him. He beat the competition they put in front of him, and things are all gravy in terms of scoring and that sort of thing.
Yep. Next guy.
Next guy is Tristan Robbins.
Friend of the show.
Tristan Robbins. Friend of the show, Tristan Robbins.
Big fan of Salmon.
Big fan. He played only two games for the Barracuda and scored 0 points, but that's okay. There were two games at the very beginning of the season before the WHL ramped back up. When he got back to the WHL, he went bonkers and scored 23 points in 16 games for 1.44 points per game. I think with all these players, but especially the CHL players, there's a sample size warning here in that a lot of the comparables we're looking at played like 60, 70 games a season. And so it's challenging. I think it just means that even though we're comparing him to similar players, there's a wider range of outcomes for him than these comps, just because at the end of the season, if he had played 60 games, like his scoring rate could have been all over the map. But for now, we'll use similar comps in their D+1 season in the WHL. And one guy I thought was interesting was Jarrett Anderson Dolan, who the Kings drafted a few years ago, who went on to spend the next season in the WHL, although he spent a few games in the NHL to begin the season, and then AHL and NHL. Cody Aiken, not very exciting. He went back to the Dub and then split time between the NHL and the AHL for a couple seasons. Dubé went back to the Dub, and then the next season split time between the AHL and the NHL and did that for a couple more seasons. Cole Lind, another Utica Utica guy went back to the Dub.
Lost boy.
Yeah, Utica lost boy went back to the Dub and then spent the next two seasons in the AHL, finally got some NHL games this year. Victor Rask went back to the Dub, AHL, NHL. Brandon Dubinsky, WHL, AHL, NHL. And then two guys that I, you know, it would be a surprise if you turn into them, but Braden Point and Mark Stone both also had similar D plus one seasons in the Dub.
I'll take that.
The best two-way forward and arguably the best winger, second best winger in the league.
It's unlikely, but they also had the, you know, they were drafted outside the first round. They went back to the W. Braden Point went immediately to the A because he went bonkers in W, his D plus three season. Stone spent a couple seasons in the AHL and then went to the NHL. So it looks like Robbins is on a, like, we'll see him in three seasons. So W next year, AHL, and then NHL is the most likely outcome for him, providing continued scoring and progressing.
One thing that kind of concerned me, or did he get hurt at the end of the season?
He got hurt at the end of the season.
Okay, because I was going to say, he didn't get invited back to the Barracuda like Ozzie White.
No, he was there, but no, he took a shoulder injury. He had a bad shoulder injury.
Clearly, I did not remember.
I thought Weisblatt got the shoulder injury. Did they both get hurt?
Weisblatt got hurt too, but he missed like a game or two. Robbins was like, he was knocked out for the rest of the season. I think around game 16 or 17. So he missed the last, you know, I think six or seven games in the season. And then I know he went down to San Jose and was kind of hanging out with the Barracuda, but yeah, didn't get in during the playoffs. So
I think with the first couple guys that we looked at, if San Jose can get one T6 guy out of Dahlin, Robbins, and Gushin, and then two bottom six guys, I think they're looking good out of that three pack.
Yes. Agreed.
Although Robbins, so like Point and Stone are obvious, amazing comparisons, and Jarrett Anderson Dolan is on his way to become not necessarily like a high impact NHLer, but a solid NHLer. But like Cody Aiken, Cole Lynn probably isn't going to be much. Dylan Dubé is fine. Victor Rask, man, fine. Brandon Dubinsky was like a bottom sixer.
He was good for a bit.
So despite having some lofty comparisons, the most likely outcome is probably a like decent NHLer.
Which I think he has the ability to go over that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Dahlin is a safer bet to be that top six scoring winger.
Yeah, I think so. I would, like, if I had to kind of rank those three guys, which ones I think I would probably go Dahlin, Robbins, and then Gushin. If like
Gushin's just so small,
yeah.
I feel like those the small guys that pan out though.
Oh yeah, if you find a Caulfield or a DeBrincat or a
yeah,
I also think he. Well, I think they update every season, and I think he's up to like 5'10" though. I don't think he's like he's not a DeBrincat. Gushin.
Oh okay. Well yeah.
He's 5'10", 176. So he's not. Oh,
then I'll swap Gushin and Robbins. And I think Dahlin still has the best bet just because he's those SHL numbers. Those
he's played pro a little bit. He's
those all Svenskin numbers are just nuts.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But after if you can find a T6 out of those three guys, that's good.
Right. Okay. So after this is our friend Thomas Bordalo, who we talked about earlier in the season a lot because the college league was the only league playing. He ended the season with 30 points in 24 games for 1.25 points per game. Some comparables are Colin White in Ottawa, who played the NCAA and then the AHL and then the NHL. RJ Umberger, which is kind of a blast from the past, but he was he was actually like a pretty solid second line center for Philly
and Columbus.
Yeah, and so he actually would go on to spend two more seasons in the college before going to the A and then NHL. Our friend Matt Nieto spent one more year in college and then went straight to the NHL. Jason Zucker went back to college just like Bordalo is. And then AHL and NHL. James Van Riemsdyk, you may have heard of him.
Bats.
Went back to college and then straight to the NHL. TJ Oshie played in also college good. Two more seasons and then to American the NHL. Hero. And then Johnny Hockey went back to college for two more seasons and then straight to the NHL.
So Bordalo has a lot higher ceiling with his comps.
Oh, 100%.
Yes. Those are way better. And I think Bordalo, even though his points per game are a little bit less, I think his season was the most encouraging out of any of the prospects.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, especially because he was also on the stacked Michigan team, and everybody that watched Michigan comes away with like, oh my Bordalo's God, we good. Love Bordalo.
Yeah, right, right, right.
So yeah,
I think we'll see him in like two seasons.
Yeah, I think, yeah, so that was going to be my question. Do you think, so we know he's going to go back next year, right?
Yep.
Do you think, so what would be his junior year? You think that's when he comes back, or do you think he tries to do maybe, I guess it'd probably see where the team is.
It would be a sophomore year next year. I think.
No, so yeah, like his junior
year. Yeah, that's what he's saying. He's going back for his sophomore.
Will he go back for his junior year? I don't know. It's weird.
I don't
because
think so.
The guys who were like the better players for the most part in this small group of comps did go back for their third college season and then straight to the NHL. So I can see where if the Sharks think he needs another year of seasoning, like what's the point of the AHL? Just leave him in college one more season and then bring him straight to the NHL afterward.
But I can
also see them being desperate for players and saying, you know
But if the Sharks bought him out next year, then they'll probably send him back.
Yeah.
There's no point. They're not going to be, if they bought him out next year and they're not competitive at all.
Right.
If they're not competitive for a playoff spot in the crappy Pacific, then I think Bordalo goes back for his junior season. Unless the only variable here is that if Bordalo absolutely goes nuts on that Michigan team and he's like, well, he has nothing to do. It's like you always hear, hey, this guy has nothing left to prove in that league. Like Quentin Byfield has nothing to prove in the OHL. So what's the point of sending him back? You know what I mean? So
if Bordalo goes nuts. The other thing too is if like, say if Michigan like loses in the championship game or something like that, and they want to like get the band back together and try to make a run for a championship.
Sure, but then Doug throws down his signing bonus and a $975,000 per year contract. And
that's
sorry, boys.
Yeah. I know that's a pay cut from what he's getting at Michigan. So we'll see.
He's probably the one that would be in the NHL first outside of Dahlin, right?
Yeah. If you're not counting Dahlin.
No. Ozzie Weisblatt, probably.
Yeah, based on timelines, we'll get to him. But yeah.
I think Bordalo. If Bordalo wasn't in college, I think he would be in first. But that's just like the whole NCAA thing. So
But they can I mean he'll have to stay the whole season, but they can take him out whenever. I don't know. So we'll see. Yeah.
College is actually better because you can just sign him to an ELC at any age and then throw him in the AHL.
Yeah, right. No, but because it's not like where he's like, okay, you can play in, but anyway, whatever. I still think
I think
Bordalo forever.
All right. After I think it's close. And I think based on at least their point per game scoring this season, JD, yes, there's a good argument that Bordalo is closest to the NHL of all of their like exciting prospects, not named Ryan Merkley. But just because of the leagues they play in and the timelines that those guys follow and the rounds they were picked in, Weisblatt edges ahead of him.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. You can also get all the news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline and check out all the great sporting news and sign up for bonuses and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for the runs in the playoffs. So head over to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's LOCKEDON to get 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
We're not quite yet. We are first at another defenseman whom I like. Will Scouch.
My boy Nikolai. Also
is a friend of wrong one.
I did this one on purpose.
Artemi Nyazev.
Artemi Nikolai Knyazev as
who by the end of the World Juniors, his defense pairing for Russia had been elevated to the top pairing, which is really exciting.
Yeah, he's a G.
He's a G. He played a handful of games in the VHL and the MHL, scored pretty well, but it's hard to put too much weight onto seven total games. Came back to the Q and played 14 games for Chicoutimi, where he put up 18 points for a 1.29 points per game
That's really good for defensemen.
It's really good for defensemen. I will say again, though, small sample size, like it's really easy if you play.
What did he do the year before? Wasn't he also good the year before?
Yes, correct. This is why I've been excited about him, because last year was also an exciting year too. It wasn't quite a point per game, but it was like, let's see. It was 0.8 points per game, which is still impressive for defensemen.
That's his draft year?
No, D plus 1 year.
That's still good though in D plus 1, right?
Mm-hmm. And so this year, for D plus 2 defensemen in the queue, the top of the list, like since 2000-2001 season, reads Thomas Chabot. Thomas, is it Chabot or Chabot? Chabot. I was going to say Chabot, but they say Chabot. Chabot. Like,
he's French. He's French. It should be Chabot. Yeah. But it's Chabot.
Thomas Chabot, Chris Letang, Niazev, and then Keith Yandle. That's like the top four.
Those are some good ass players.
Yeah. So obviously Chabot and Letang went straight to the NHL next year, this coming season, which we're pretty sure Niazev isn't going to do unless he just blows the doors off the place in training camp. He's a lefty, so there's more space for him.
Yep. Yandle, if Adam Schimek gets taken by Seattle, boy, howdy.
That's true. Yandle spent a year in the AHL before going to the NHL. Some other guys who didn't score as well as Niazev did, but let's say that had he continued the season, he's scoring drops off a little bit. Marco Scandella spent next season in the AHL and then NHL. Mackenzie Weegar is interesting.
Very good.
He spent three seasons in the AHL before going to the N. And then old friend Jason Demers
spent a year in the A.
He was good. And then to the NHL. So I think we're looking at, like, it's nice because the ceiling is through the roof, which is amazing. And even the lower end of that spectrum are guys who are, like, at the very least undervalued but solid NHLers.
Yeah.
For Jason Demers, at the end of the day, Jason Demers got Brendan Dillon, who is really good for San Jose.
Yes. And Jason Demers was good in his own right too, even after he left. So it's hard again because of the sample size and maybe he went way down. And once you get past a certain scoring rate, the NHL hit rate drops way off. But this is what we have of him. We have now three seasons of solid scoring for his age. He's not super, super undersized. He's a little small, but he's like five. Oh, no, he's listed at 16.
He's 6 foot now.
So he grew, yeah. So he's not like tiny. He's known for being an excellent skater, puck mover, good on the power play, that sort of thing. Maybe there's a little concern that he's not great at pushing play at 5-on-5. But
do you know what you do to solve that?
Yeah.
You have your top pair of Niazev, Merkley, and you're done. Wash your hands of it.
Yeah, I agree. No, that sounds great. So there's a very, I don't know, probably low probability that he just skates into the NHL next season, but
he should be.
He plays in the AHL for a year.
We never, like Knyazhov last year, we're like, whatever. And then, you know.
He's also 2 years older at the time, though.
Yeah.
So that's a little
understandable.
True. I hear you.
Yeah. So like, so he'll be on the Barracuda next year, correct?
Yep. Well, so, he should be. I mean, he's 20. I'd be surprised if they sent him back for his overage season, given
that. So we assume he's going to be on the CUDA, and then I would expect him, like, if somebody gets hurt or something like that, I bet he's the first call-up next year for defenseman. So,
are you assuming Merkley starts in the NHL? Or is it because he's left-handed?
Because he's left-handed, so.
Yeah. That would put a big damper in my Ryan Merkley window theorem.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see, because with Merkley, I think it's, I mean, we'll see what they do, because I think they have such a log jam in guy, you know, because like, who are you leaving out type of thing between like Ferraro. It's basically what Ferraro, Burns, Carlson, Knyazhov, Vlasic, and that's one per, yeah, so it's type of thing. So
Vlasic can play as offhand though.
Yeah, between Merkley...
I mean, Ferraro played his offhand his whole rookie season.
Yeah, so but between Merkley, Schimek, and
I mean
whomever pops at camp, so yeah, it's for that last spot, so...
Let's hope that Seattle takes Schimek. No offense, Schimek, but...
Knyazhov was also really good in his rookie year in the queue. He had 34 points in 55 games.
Yep,
He's always been good. There's no way this man is failing.
Yeah. I just want to see a Knyazhov pairing just for
Kyle's brain
and to hear like poor like Randy Hahn talk about it on TV. Like, just it's just going to be incredible.
They should, one should just skate on the other one, like just have him stacked on his shoulders, and it's sort of the ultimate Knyazhov.
He should wear number 72 or 17.
Ooh.
That'd be cruel.
17, 71 would be great.
He has to be a top four guy, right?
Yeah.
Getting a bottom pair guy out of him would be kind of a failure.
Yeah.
Based on his current trajectory, yes.
So if you have
it'd be the low end of his outcomes.
Yeah, a future top four of Merkley, Carlson, Knyazhov,
Ferraro.
Knyazhov. I'm doing it now.
Knyazhov's going to be a top four boy too.
Yeah,
get him in there.
There you go. You have five top fours. That's a good problem.
I love it. That's fantastic. Stanley Cup 2024. Here we come.
Yeah, but he's in the NHL as soon as possible, as soon as this year, and then from there on he should be in the NHL for 15
years. I wouldn't be surprised if he potentially gets, like, especially if the Shark season goes bad, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets some games at the end of the season. So
yeah,
you need to get games at the beginning of the season. All right,
all the games all season.
We're moving on to Ozzie Weisblatt, who by all accounts, just judging on his point per game scoring rates, had a bit of a disappointing season, given that he was picked at the end of the first round. Although, to be fair, picks after like 15 are all the same anyway, so it's hard to put too
green
much
jacket,
stock
gold jacket
into that.
Who gives a pick?
Basically, for the most part, yeah. The promising thing is that in his three AHL games, he did score, or sorry, six games, he scored 3 points. So that's that's fairly exciting, even though a super small sample size. When he went back to the WHL, he put up 28 points in 23 games for 1.22 point per game scoring rate, although he also suffered some injuries during the season. So there's kind of, again, we have some excuses for some of these players, and so there's a little bit of an excuse there. But you would have liked to see something more like Tristan Robbins, 1.4 points per game, if you were to get really, really excited about him. Still, there are some interesting, if not super high-end comps here. Morgan Geeky is playing now, getting some solid minutes for the Carolina Hurricanes finally this season. He would go on back to the W, the AHL twice, and then finally is in the NHL this year. But I think his analytics profile is pretty solid so far in the NHL, which is nice, even though he's not, again, an exciting name. Emerson Edom, every time I see his name, I think of that tweet. 12 hours after Emerson Edom, Emerson Poop him. He went back to the W. And then went to the, it's an all-timer. Would go on to spend 2 years in the AHL after that. Clark MacArthur went back to the W and then AHL for 3 seasons. Brett Connolly, who was kind of more of maybe an analytics darling, but still a very solid player in his prime, would go one more year in the W before going straight to the NHL. Sharks fans are familiar with Devin Setoguchi, who would go back to the W and then straight to the NHL afterward. And then some of the higher end players are Nino Niederreiter, who I believe he had a weird winding path because the Islanders screwed that up. So he's sick. He went back to the W, went to the N, and then went back to the AHL and then got traded. Anyway, but he's very good. Jamie Benn.
Also sick.
Straight. He went one more year in the W and then NHL, and then Jordan Eberle also went back to the W and then NHL.
If you can get Jamie Benn, Nino Niederreiter, or Jordan Eberle out of Ozzie Weisblatt, that's a coup at 31 overall.
Yes. 100%. And even Brett Connolly was picked at, I think, 6 or 7 overall. So
yeah, but so I think the talk of like line one guy probably wore off a bit this season, but the Barracuda loved it. Yeah. Apparently he was really good with the Cuda. Well, doing all the things that coaches tell you they want.
Yes,
right.
There's a reason
right.
they brought him back and played him, and then Roy Sommer played him in the playoffs thing that they happened.
Yes, 100%. That is true. So I think his scouting profile, his hockey man profile, if you will, belies his scoring rate a little bit. So even though statistically speaking, his chances of becoming a star player took a hit, it's evident what coaches and scouts see in him and why he was able to score well last year and why he might very well still pop off next season after things get back to normal and he's not injured and COVID's not bugging out everyone. So I think that is...
Do you think they give him a chance to make the NHL next year?
Yeah, totally. I think the Sharks have been good about bringing guys into rookie camp, bringing guys into camp. And if a guy like Ferraro Knyazhov says, hey, I'm going to make the team, they let him make the team. Like, I don't, but I think they're good about doing that without being like, yes, this first round pick is definitely going to have the inside track at a spot. Like, they make him earn it.
Yeah, they give him an honest chance, but yeah, they don't just hand it to him. So, which is what you want.
We've seen there's no, the reason that, and there's one more prospect we'll cover in a second, but the reason that a lot of fans were disappointed a couple of years ago, and the reason that a lot of these guys we're talking about now also have a good shot at getting to the NHL sooner rather than later is because there's just not a whole lot of exciting players ahead of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not that
pipeline,
like, that blue chip, like forward right, prospect.
Exactly. And the younger
until
guys,
they draft William Eklund.
Yes.
Right, until they draft William Eklund, who, oh God, I would levitate. And the younger guys who are sort of cuspy guys are already pretty much in the NHL, or we've seen what they can start to do for the most part. And so there's not really, unless like Chekovich blows the doors off the place, or like Shumlevsky learns how to skate in the offseason, there aren't really a lot of players standing in the way of some of these guys mm-hmm. maybe grabbing a third or fourth line role to start the NHL season and at least putting 9 games in.
Makes sense. So his timeline, so he'll probably can we have rookie camp back to the W next year, right? Because he's only 19 right now.
Yeah,
has to go back to the W.
Oh, then, by the way, Robbins will be in the AHL probably next year. He's like 20 or whatever.
He'll be 20, I think, in November.
Old enough, but they haven't. The Sharks, I don't think, have like really had a lot of like first year eligible AHLers on the team. Like, I know Hanimalik is a much less exciting prospect, but he went back. Some other guys have gone back too, even despite being old enough. So I don't. He can, but I don't know that it's in their history.
Okay.
Of prospect development. So yeah, best case scenario is that he like gets healthy, blows up next year, puts up like 1 point, some ungodly number, and then hits the NHL running in the 21-22 season.
Or 22-23.
Sorry, 22-23. Thank you. I have no idea what year it is, what day it is, what time it is.
All right, let's do our last prospect.
And the last guy is tough because he only played a handful of games, but Brandon Coe played in the AHL this year because the OHL never got started. He put up 5 points in 17 games for 0.29 points per game. And I don't think it's worth, well, you can't really run off comps because most guys his age don't play in the AHL unless they're really, really, really good or European.
Unless they're like, or they're Russian.
Yeah. Right. Or they're European. So, but some guys that he scored better than who were higher or similar draft picks than him last year include Luke Evangelista, Will Coyle, Jan Mischak, and Jean-Luc Foudy, whom he scored the same rate as. But Evangelista, Coyle, and Mischak were all second rounders, and Coe's mm-hmm. a fourth rounder, and he scored at a better rate than they did in their abridged AHL seasons. So
that's good. I know the
probably not a high-end guy there, but that's something worth.
I think they're probably hoping for Ryan Clough out of that pick.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
But
which would be great out of a fourth rounder.
The coaching staff raved about like kind of the way he grew and his maturity and stuff like that too, as you know, kind of especially in the situation that he was in. So I think this is going to be one of those things where, you know, like, yeah, his stats and stuff weren't going to be pretty this year, but this is going to be one of those things that really accelerates his game, you know, playing against men the entire season and, you know, getting a full AHL season at the age of 18. So yeah, that's good for him, I think.
If you talk to like scouts and mm-hmm. research and stuff like that, the Coe pick was a home run by a lot of people because he's already like physically able to play in the NHL.
Freak of nature. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's
a big poison skate.
Yeah.
Jury's out though, because we need to see a full season of him do something. But the last person we should just briefly mention is Ryan Merkley. He's got to be in the NHL next year, right?
I hope so. Or it might kind of spell doom at this point. He didn't light the scoreboard up in the AHL. I didn't look at comps because he's, again, one of our guys who has sort of some excuses, I guess, where everyone knows the offensive talent he has, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just
called him all season.
Did they call him fat?
Yeah, Doug Wilson, too, said he came into camp at, like, 12% body fat or something like that, which is normal, but he wanted him to be elite at, like, 7%.
Like, 9? Damn, like, dude.
Yeah, and he did. He hit that by the end of the season. So,
Okay. So, he is figuring out how to be a pro.
Yeah, he played with Vegna all year. that don't listen to everybody's like his defensive game was weak. It's like, that's not what he's there to do.
No,
just leave it alone.
Your hope is that he is Erik Karlsson Jr. Like that's what you're hoping from.
Yeah. And from a lot of writers and scouts and stuff like that have grudges against him for no reason. So you got to take the news with a grain of salt, depending on who it comes from. Because Doug Wilson too and Roy Sommer had a lot of good things to say about what he did. And I bet you there was a "you're staying in the AHL all season" talk.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like, which could be a little downer. Yeah.
Here's a little bit of good news and something, a trend that I noticed with Cechkovich, a similar trend during his kind of meh first AHL season was, and I'm eyeballing this, but early on in the season, per Elite Prospects game logs, Merkley's shots on goal were like 0-1-1-0-0-1-2-0-0-1. And the end of the season, the last few games, it was 1-2-3-0-1-3-1-3-2-4-2. So like, even if the points weren't coming, it certainly seems like he was sort of finding his game and was figuring out how to play the pro game.
One of the quotes from Sommer was that he's breaking into the zone, and instead of he's trying to look for the pass too much.
Right, right.
So instead of Roy Sommer wants him to make a worse play.
Yeah, which is just
for
stupid.
Whatever dumb reason, and Merkley's trying to like hold on to the puck and find a better play or a better shot rather than just ripping it or giving it. It was silly.
And it's also one of those things too, where I talked to Brian Trung, who, you know, covered the Barracuda for San Jose Hockey Now. And he's, you know, kind of the thing he saw with Merkley was like, he's trying to make a play. And like, we see this with Erik Karlsson too. And it's just like, oh, there's Marcus Sorensen. And it's like, he makes a great play, but then the other guy on the end of the, you know, like he's just doesn't have the talent around him to make the play that he wants to make.
Merkley might just straight up be better in the NHL.
Yeah, and that's right, that could be one of those things too.
With better teammates, yeah.
Yep.
So yes, NHLer or otherwise, I don't know.
This thing is way too long. Let's go.
It's as long as the people need. If you have a show idea, please Twitter it to us at Locked On Sharks on the bird. If you have a really dumb idea, you can do that at lockedonsharks@gmail.com so I can delete it. If you want to go to Facebook or Instagram, if that's where you get your preferred social media diet, you can do that. Locked On Sharks, both of those. JD's putting up all our stuff. You'll get your DMs there. If you want to DM JD privately, DM him sweet nothings, you can do that at my Fryhole. If you would like to talk about the old man in the sea with Eric, you can do that at Foulball15.
If you want to ask Kyle the differences between a parentheses and a bracket, you can find him at Kyle Demetrius.
They're all the same thing. Bye.
Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.